the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Andy O'Donoghue is with us for Tech Thursday. Only recently, Andy, we spoke about 50 years of Apple. But I think it's appropriate now to talk about the man who's going to officially step down as chief executive on the 1st of September, Tim Cook. Because I think the figure is when Tim Cook took over after the death of Steve Jobs, Apple was worth about $1 trillion.
$350 billion.
That's all. It wasn't even a trillion.
No.
350. And it's now worth?
About $4 trillion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of additional value in Apple created under Tim Cook's stewardship.
Enormous shareholder value created since Tim Cook took over. In 2011, Matt, it's not that long. You think that's, you know,
15 years.
$3.5 trillion of valuation. And this incredible growth. And it's funny because people, in a way, I think Tim Cook was almost underrated at the beginning of this.
Oh, he was. He was thought to be too dull and too bland.
He was. And yet he's created this remarkable company without the theatrics. And people kind of came to expect the theatrics from Steve Jobs,
which were essential at the time of launching the iPhone and various other Apple products.
They were. And even before that, when Steve Jobs came back, it was very important because Apple had been, you know, practically bankrupt. We spoke about that recently. And Tim Cook, of course, was hired by Steve Jobs in 1998. And Cook had grown up in Mobile, Alabama, gone to Auburn University, and had spent 12 years with IBM. And his passion, he'd studied industrial engineering, I think. But his passion was he was really good at logistics, at engineering, inventory, and getting product to who needed it, when they needed it. And then he spent a little bit of time at Compaq. And it was when he was at Compaq that Steve Jobs went to him and got him to join Apple. And Matt, he was so critical. People often think about people like Johnny Ive.
For design.
And Tony Fadell, who went on to create Nest, but worked on the original iPod. Tim Cook was probably more important to Apple's success because, in a sense, he saved it because he fixed this incredible inventory trouble that Apple had. And when he joined, I think, as a vice president of operations and was head of worldwide operations and was responsible for, say, Apple Corks.
You met him there, I understand.
I did meet him. I was working in the IT department at the time. I was running the help desk one evening in IS&T. I got a call from the MD's office and to drop Tim Cook to dinner. I think he was going to Arbutus Lodge in St. Luke's. So I went downstairs, collected him, drove him up, and, you know, it takes about 20, 30 minutes to come down in the traffic from Holly Hill. And I had a remarkable chat with him because he asked me what I was doing, and I was working on kind of a bill of material system integration at the time. And Matt, he knew everything about what I was talking about. He knew about the product SKUs, even their product codes, how bill of materials worked, the sort of integration stuff that I was doing. I didn't dwell on it much at the time, but years later, I began to realize, I thought, it's incredible. His understanding of detail around the manufacturing process and around inventory and how it all works was incredible. He took that knowledge, he ended the inventory problem that Apple had, and Apple were bleeding money, and he perfected JIT, just-in-time manufacturing, and that was... of course, the downside for this and for Ireland as well was that Apple lost production. Apple lost manufacturing at the time.
And that meant a lot of that moved out of Cork.
Moved out of Cork and most of it. But also the subcontracting started. So that's how Apple ended up, you know, going to Foxconn, manufacturing of iPhone.
In China.
And now, of course, we know that that's going on to India and other countries as well. So he really got to grips very early on with the inventory problem, stopped that issue, and then went on to, I think, in a way, put his own stamp on Apple. And the products that he made a difference on were, you know, the watch and the wearables.
Well, that would suggest that he put a big emphasis on hardware, was it? That Apple was very much a hardware company, even though it also did generate an enormous amount of money from recurring services businesses.
And so the short answer of that is kind of, but no. The services business was Tim Cook's great success at Apple. So at the time, when he joined, Apple had revenue of about $100 billion. Now it's about $400 billion a year. $100 billion of Apple's earnings this year, roughly, will come from the services business. So Tim Cook perfected the services business. And when we say services, we mean iCloud and the other services, you know, Apple TV, the various things. You store your photos, you do your email, you use me.com. He really made that tick. And one of the things he did is Steve Jobs got us to buy products, but Tim Cook perfected the ecosystem. And he didn't invent the next iPhone, but what he did was he made sure that Apple users would never leave the ecosystem. And he did that brilliantly.
So what you're saying is that there was no great new product developments, although the watch did come under leadership, and of things like AirPods have become very, very important financially as well. But it was all the things like your Apple Music, your Apple TV, your emails, your storage that you pay every year for.
Yeah, exactly. And part of that is ensuring that the software teams and the hardware teams have this incredible synergy, so that when you buy an iPhone or you buy an Apple TV, the hardware box at home, it means that everything connects. People, your listeners who use Apple products, you know, nobody does it like them really. The way everything just syncs together beautifully and perfectly. You get a new iPad. Oh, I can back up my old one. Your contacts are there. Your movies are there. Everything works really well. Tim Cook did a tremendous job on that. And you're right, he did. Apple Watch is a great success. At one time, it was the best-selling watch in the world. An incredible business. Also, Apple's push under him into healthcare, even, you know, acquiring primary care clinics in the US. We don't hear much about that here yet, but Apple have a big play to come in healthcare. He had some tough times along the way. For instance, Apple Car, I think, Project Titan, code name. They probably spent $3 or $4 billion on that. That's gone away, and that Apple will not make a car.
But he hasn't wasted money on artificial intelligence, has he? Or is that a shortcoming that he should have been investing in that rather than depending on buying AI services from competitors?
It's, you know, some cynical commentators would say that perhaps Tim's miss on artificial intelligence is one of the reasons why he's going. Not early, but only 2 weeks ago, you and I predicted that this would happen this year. But I think that has certainly been a miss. Yeah, for sure. And so the miss on artificial intelligence is a problem. Apple's...
Why is it a problem? Because I wonder, have a lot of companies wasted money on artificial intelligence? Just like Mark Zuckerberg has wasted, it's estimated about $70 billion with his madness in relation to the metaverse.
Yeah.
And he's getting away with it because of all the money that Facebook and Instagram and the other products bring in advertising. But could it be that Apple, by not following the others slavishly into making big AI bets, will end up having its money safely secured and ready to spend on whatever eventually emerges from the AI gold rush?
Well, and you're right, I think, in a sense, because Apple are always very good at making the best out of, you know, not starting from the front of the pack. Apple tend not to invent things, but they perfect them. And artificial intelligence, Apple's play on artificial intelligence will be different because it will be about on-device intelligence. So they will do that really well. However, Zuckerberg had one of the great successes, and it's a smoldering success, is the smart glasses that Facebook make. Apple will release a set of smart glasses. Under Cook, they released, you know, their virtual reality headset.
Didn't work.
Apple Vision Pro. It's really hard to find an audience for a device that costs thousands of dollars. But take that tech, take the concept, put it into glasses that are fashionable. Apple are not going to get an external designer like Zeiss or somebody, or Ray-Ban like Facebook did. They're going to do it themselves. They're going to hire designers. They're going to make the coolest pair of smart glasses, which we will probably see, I suspect, next year. So artificial intelligence will be a play. Apple don't have to be the best at it. They just have to get it, you know, reasonably right.
Who's Tim Cook's replacement going to be? Does he have any connection to Ireland?
No, John Ternus is SVP, Senior Vice President of Engineering, very much a hardware guy. And I think this is a really interesting choice. It's kind of, he looked like the obvious one for a while, their software chief maybe as well. John Ternus, we've been seeing more of him. Hardcore engineer, real focus on product. So this is a really strategic choice by Cook and by the board, because it means you get hardware leadership back at the top of the company. Tim Cook is going to become executive chairman, not like Art Levinson, who's currently the chairman who does governance, essentially. Cook is going to be a full-on executive chairman. And what that means is that he is going to be Apple's diplomat. He is brilliant at talking to the likes of Donald Trump or President...
A lot of people feel he overdid it this year or in the last year in sucking up to Donald Trump.
Well, there are, you know, when we live in a world of tariffs and of uncertainty, and you run one of the biggest companies in the world, you have a diplomatic presence that you cannot disregard. So I think for Apple's future, but also he's also remained very focused on privacy first. So in a sense, Tim Cook led Apple for the last 15 years. I think this is very much a role where he is going to protect Apple diplomatically because he has a lot of miles to travel, increasing negotiations with the EU and the artificial intelligence situations that we have. And then China, the US, and increasingly India also.
Well, one very brief thing to finish. We were only mentioning it yesterday with Elaine Burke, but the new EU rules about batteries being able to be detachable, that's going to change the design of the iPhone, isn't it?
Yeah, it will. So you're going to have to be able to change your battery. And so what that's going to mean is that everybody's kind of going to have a modular design to these new devices. And I got to say, though, really, really great result for consumers.
Indeed. Andy O'Donoghue, thank you so much.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.